cold today. Yesterday was hot and sunny. But I was surprised, actually, I think about two Mondays ago, a friend of ours showed up at the house with three boxes of fruit. Oranges, apples, and bananas. Actually, about as much fruit as you see on the table up here today in front of me. Now, a bit overwhelming. It's supposed to be healthy. You know, fruit gives you vitamin C, which helps you get better quickly. So I immediately got out the juicer and did 8 oranges, came up with a big glass of juice, and I drank that down and said, yeah, I've had enough fruit for the day. Thank you very much. Kids came home, gave them all a big glass of juice, and the pile hadn't really gone down much at all. So the next day we did it again. We put fruit in the blender, this time with some yogurt, and they all had smoothies and whatever. And the pile of fruit was still there. I mean, just couldn't get rid of it. So after about 3 days of working at it, I finally took about 2 bags of it, took it to my friend who's a weight lifter, trying to eat lots of healthy things, gave him 2 bags of it, said, okay, here, this is much easier, I can't handle it. So he took part of the fruit. So finally, I think we're down to the last 5 or 6 kiwi. In fact, I brought them here. So some of the kiwi have been around. They're soft now because they were not quite ripe when we received them. Now they're ready to spoon out and really enjoy. It's a lot of fruit. And there's a lot of fruit up here today. Wonder what we're going to do with it. We'll have to find a reason to use it. So anyways, fruit. Really good for getting you through the cold. I'm healthy again. And hopefully, as we go through today's message, we'll see what God's doing in our lives, even if there's a bunch of fruit on the table. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning expecting to hear from you and expecting our lives to be changed. We come into your words that are reserved, saved for us in Scripture. We look to them as words from you to change us. So open our eyes this morning and help us to see, and open our ears and hear what you are saying to us, your people, today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been going through the book of Luke this year, the Gospel of Luke, so that we can know that what we have been taught is true, believable, we can hold on to. The book of Luke is all about the life of Jesus. What he taught, why he taught it, how he touched people's lives, how he changed people, and how he changed their perspective on their day-to-day living. So this week we're actually getting to the section here in chapter 16 where we look at a topic that a lot of us are well acquainted with. Some of us know details and some of us just know the big picture, and that has to do with money. Go back. Don't bump that up. Just the title. There we go. Just the money. So I've got lots of currencies up here. Get to spend lots of, especially international, lots of different currencies. How many of you have the XC currency exchanger on your cell phones? All right. That's at least a third of you all. So that means we're changing currencies all the time, trying to keep track of what money is valued where, how do I use it, what's the value, and sometimes you just go, it's monopoly money, buy it, and move on. So it's kind of hard that way to keep track of finances. Currencies, exchanges, and all that. But finances here in this passage is something that we are going to be wrestling with because it actually is a reflection of what goes on in our heart. A reflection of what God is doing in me. Now, I'm not one of those highly detailed kind of guys. You can ask Diane or my wife. But Diane knows about the financial part of it here because she likes to keep church accounts for us down to dinners. Now, I think if I'm within 10, 20, 30 euros, I'm doing good. So thankfully, we have people that are gifted really well keeping track of details, and others who just see the big picture. I'm big picture here, so I'm thankful. But in this financial thing, it's neither the big picture nor the details. It's our heart that God's going to be looking at and challenging us today. So in this chapter 16, we actually have 2 stories that we're going to be looking at. Now, the first story that we're going to see the verses here, there's a rich man who has a manager of his estate. He has somebody who's managing it, taking track of it, and he hears about this manager of his who's actually being quite wasteful. So he says, you know what? You're out. Manager, give an account of what you've done and then hit the road because I don't need you anymore. You're wasting my resources. So we end up with a man in this story who was in charge of somebody else's possessions, all the things that he had, responsible, but not so responsible. Not responsible enough for the manager to want to keep him around. So the manager hears the story. The guy finds a way to make it through beyond the job. He writes off a debt of one guy, and he lowers the debt of another guy. And the manager, when he finally hears all this, says, well, you're a shrewd guy. I mean, you've figured out your future. But he is dishonest, and he's a poor manager. He's wasteful, and he got set aside. So we're talking here about managing other people's resources, managing other people's assets, things that have value. They're owned by somebody, and they're available. They're available to meet a debt. They're available to meet a need. These are the things that are being talked about, the person in charge of that. So we stop and think, what am I responsible for? I work. I make an income. I'm responsible for my family. That's kind of the easy one that we all fall to. In fact, as we were talking this week, Dr. David mentioned that if you want to retire comfortably, maybe it's not even comfortably, but anyways, it's a good idea to have at least $1.5 million in the bank so you can live off the interest in your retirement. Wow, okay, that's not in my league anywhere. Anybody? Yeah, no, that's somebody out there dreaming that would be really nice to do. Not going to get there. Otherwise, maybe just saving 18% of all that you earn towards retirement, looking ahead, stewardship of what you have. Sometimes just enough to make it through the day and get your kids fed and clothed and out the door and educated. These are all things we wrestle with as we have our own finances. And on our jobs, we have these same responsibilities as well, using these resources. Now, if this passage this morning was simply about managing caring for my family, using the resources to care for and meet what's right here, it'd be a really easy sermon. Today would be really easy. You know, we think, okay, I'm doing all right, I'm giving a little bit to the church, and I'm giving a little bit to retirement, and okay, there was a little extra this month, so we saved up for a little vacation, and Jesus doesn't let us get off the hook quite so easy, right? He's changing our worldview. He's changing how we see things. So in this passage here, there's a contrast between this wasteful, dishonest, go ahead and change it, and shrewd manager. There's a contrast of him with people who are called the children of the light, people of the light. In verses 10 and 11, it says this, and there's a slide for it. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Now in this verse, we have this idea that we really need to be faithful in little things. So right off the top, if you're working, be faithful. If you have a job, work hard. Be faithful in those little things. Young people, you get an allowance, you get a little bit of money. How you use that little money shows how you're going to use a lot of money down the road. Those of you with big incomes, we trust that you're going to have big expectations to use that money trustworthy. These are reflections of what's going on inside of our heart. So we have a contrast between the wasteful servant and the people of the light. This is the comparison that's going on here. Now, what's interesting in the verse that we just read is the challenge that who would trust us with true riches? Who would trust us with eternal riches? So what's going on here is a comparison of what we see around us, the things we can hold on to, finances, cash, savings, and the things that we can't see, which are talked about in this eternal value system. People of the light. Managers of what? What are we managers of? Think through. In the context of eternal kingdom, the kingdom of God, what is it that we today are responsible for? We're managers of what? has to do with the kingdom. What's in the kingdom? Kingdom assets. Anything that God himself is doing, and he puts in our control, we're responsible for it. So this is we are, as children of light, managers of kingdom resources. Now, next slide.
Whoa. How many of you know?
Oh, I didn't remember his name. The guy at the fruit bazaar on top of LAJ. Amir. I saw Amir this morning. Well, his family. They have a fruit stand that looks kind of like what we see here in the slide there. And there's a lot of fruit there. It's their business. Every day they're selling fruit and vegetables. In fact, Josiah told me that they have the best oranges there, right? Jordan, watch your head. It's going all over. All right. So anyways, Amir has the best oranges in town. And here's some of them right here. If we were to say that the fruit stand represents what God is doing, it's kingdom. It's abundant. There's a lot there. And this table here represents all that fruit my friend gave me a few weeks ago, right? I mean, this is going to get me healthy. You eat all this, no cold is going to get me because I've had enough vitamin C. How much of that table do you think my family can really eat in before it goes bad? I mean, if we're normal, kind of, eating it. This much? Maybe a little bit more? I could throw on another bunch of bananas. All right. Thank you, Maya, for arranging that and messing it up now. All right. So let's just say my family of five, because there's two adults and one monster eater and then two kids, probably a teenager, can go through a basket of fruit, right? This is what. But how about me personally? What do I need out of this basket?
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing. That's actually the best. I'm actually trying to eat a few oranges and a banana with some almond butter. Okay, this is good for me in one day, really. This much. This is what I could say I need for my family, and this is what this table I've been given. It's just too much here. So, don't say, I'm actually just going to give you that there, don't you? Yeah, you? Yeah, there you go. All right. Kingdom resources. Kingdom assets. Things of value, things that we can use, things that actually are able to meet commitments. Kingdom assets are things that God has given to us for today. All through this book of Luke, Jesus is challenging people today. Take up your cross and follow me. Today, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. Today, trust me. How concerned am I right now with this table behind me being all of mine sitting on my kitchen table? How important is it to me to worry about having vitamin C tomorrow? Not very, no. Jordan, this table right here, it's yours, okay? It's no longer mine. So after I leave here today and I'm gone and you guys keep singing, you can eat that table all the way if you want. It's all yours. You can't have any of it unless Jordan gives it to you. It's hers. No, I can't give it to you. That's not mine. All right, Jordan, this is Jordan's table now. All right? Completely. I'm not going to take any of this fruit with me on the airplane today. Tomorrow, where's my vitamin C going to come from? Not on the plane. Maybe where I end up, yeah. I'm dependent on something outside of me.
Mangoes.
What I'm trying to represent here, the kingdom of God has all the resources out there. Tomorrow, this fruit stand is going to be full again. It's not mine, but it's there. Everything I need, the king of this kingdom has promised to provide for me. He's promised today I can have everything I need. And everything that his kingdom needs is available. So what's the kingdom need? Why do I have a table full of food? Why did I have a table full of food? It's because there's people in need. It's not given to me to hoard. It's not given to me to take care of for next week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks from now. If I come back in 10 days and this food is still here, nobody's going to want it. Kingdom resources are for the kingdom's work today. There's an element of what we're talking here where we are good stewards. We do have to save. We do have to look for tomorrow and know that there's a way. There's also an element where there's a huge amount of trust that goes into saying the kingdom has the resources every single day because the king is watching out for his people. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed. This is verse 9. You will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. So we have this comparison going on through this whole chapter of this foolish, wasteful, dishonest manager, these children of light. They, the world, uses all these worldly treasures to make friends so their life is good afterwards. This verse is saying, use this worldly treasure to make friends. Why? Because eternity is waiting. Our investment with what we can touch, grab onto, the investment that we're making is not personal. It's eternal. We only have what we think we have because God has given to us. Right? I mean, we might work, we might get a paycheck and say, I deserve this. And think that all those finances belong to me. My retirement account belongs to me. What Jesus is trying to get across to us through these verses is I have nothing that doesn't come from him.
Amen.
Nothing. The resources that you have today, if you open up your wallet and you looked inside, those resources are an asset that belongs to the kingdom of God. Now, we like to say, give 10%. That's a way we show that we're honoring God. Or we like to say, give generously. What if everything we have today was needed to do something for the kingdom? Could you trust that God could take it all away from you and still provide for you tomorrow? Call it a spiritual bankruptcy in the moment. God says, you know what? I need all of your assets. I need everything I've given you right now, but don't worry. Tomorrow, you'll have what you need. Wesley talked about this. Those that have riches. Actually, he said, anybody that has enough for today plus a little extra, you're in danger. It's not that being rich and being poor, one is more sinful than the other or more godly than the other, but those that have enough for today plus extra, they're walking on the very edge of hell, according to Wesley. Because you're so easily tempted to trust in what you have. To trust in what you have in your possession, have in your hands. As opposed to having nothing and having to depend upon God. The more we have, the easier it is to be complacent. The more we have, the easier it is to say, God's already provided. I'm good. But what about God's kingdom? Kingdom of God. He's given to us to provide for our needs, and he's given to us as a priority his kingdom. We like to have a hierarchy of needs in our life. This is my first priority, this is my second priority, this is my third priority. How many priorities can we have in life? How many? What does this verse here have to say for us in verse 13? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So stop a moment. How many times do you check your IRA accounts to see if market's up or market's down? How many times do you stop and say, do I have enough to pay for this? Or do you just say, oh, I got enough. Go ahead, kids. Grab a couple of them. Talking about our resources here in light of the kingdom. Are we flippant about how we spend amounts of money? Are we intentional about giving away to what God is doing? Sacrificing our own needs sometimes? This is not a comfortable passage. We grumbled about this quite a bit at the preacher's meeting this week, saying, why is there stuff like this? If it was easy to say, give 10% and you're off the hook, I think we'd all, okay, fine. Even if it hurts to give 10%, at least I know I've satisfied God. 100% is God's. It's His. We manage it. The steward, this manager in this, was wasteful. He thought about himself. He used the owner's resources to take care of himself. He got through life. But if we're looking for this eternal reward, if we're really following after Jesus, then how we manage what God has given to us financially is critical. It's very critical. Because this isn't a guilt trip. If I could save 10%, I could really guilt you. Say, oh, come on, you can give just a little bit more and you'll be there and you'll be fine. I could guilt you into 10%, maybe even 15%. But God's not looking for that as our motivation here. He wants us to recognize how bountifully God has given to me. This table here, it's now Jordan's. Maybe she can eat it all. Maybe she can give it away. I don't care because it's not my responsibility anymore. You're welcome. Although the basket you have to give back. The basket's not mine. The fruit in it, it's all yours, won't you? So stop and look at this table. Rather than having a bunch of fruit on it, and the table behind it in the picture is having fruit, and just see it as a big vault. Fort Knox. Gold. What's needed for the kingdom? Most of it sits in the kingdom in God's control. When it's needed, He puts it on the table, and a portion of it comes out in the basket to you. And how much of all of this is mine? None. Not a single piece of it. So the question this morning that comes down to in all of this is, can I trust God today? Yes. Right now. We pray, we trust God, and we say, Lord, when I die, eternity, I trust you for that. Because in eternity, you're going to put a house around me. You promised me eternal dwelling place. In eternity, you promised me a banquet table of food. In eternity, you promised to walk side by side with me. But today, I don't know how I'm going to get through it. Today, I'm not sure what I'm going to eat. Today, how am I going to sleep? Yeah? We can trust God with something big and eternal, but today we want to stop and say, yeah, if I save just a little bit of this money that I have right now, I'll be okay tomorrow. You sense the problem here? We want to say we trust Him for the future, but today, it's hard to show Him. It's hard to put ourselves in a position where if God doesn't show up, I'm a disaster. It's hard to put ourselves in a position where God has to meet us, especially in this area of finances, because the world around us encourages us, praises us, and says, you know what? You have to provide for the future. Make sure you have 3 months of salary saved up in the bank just in case. Make sure you have your IRA growing, your portfolio of retirement getting bigger and bigger so that when you retire, you're good. And they're not bad. Those aren't bad things. But it's not our priority. It's not what we live for. Some of you have taken changes of jobs recently with less money, but more time. Why? So that you have time to invest in the kingdom. It's about resources. Trusting that God can provide with a smaller bank account, a time to serve Him and be with Him. It's one way of trusting. And as you're in your small groups and talking this week, you're going to find other ways of trusting. Because this is very, very personal, how God leads us in this. It's not a blanket statement saying we all need to do this to show we trust. No. For some, it's giving a lot. For some, it's giving everything. And for some,
It's receiving daily. The kingdom of God provides for our needs each day.
So, do you think we need a hero in this? Someone to help us to get through to the other side of this difficulty? What we're supposed to be doing, how this looks like? Well, Jesus gives us another story here. He gives us a story of a rich man and Lazarus. The rich man in the story is described as having beautiful clothes, food to eat, good health, a beautiful house. In fact, he has this great fence around the whole thing and a huge entranceway, probably with shiny gates, open and close. Rich man had it all. In comparison, there's this guy called Lazarus. Barely has enough clothing to be decent, covered in scabs, meaning his health's pretty shot. Medicinally, though, he's covered. He's got a few stray dogs that come by and clean him up every now and then. And he just dreams about something falling off the table of the rich guy that he could just get into his mouth before the dogs do. Starving. And they both die. They both enter into eternity, and the rich man, it says he's down in purgatory suffering. Would love just a drop of water on the tip of his tongue to satisfy him a little bit and relieve some of the pain. And the poor guy, Lazarus, he's in paradise, sitting up there with it all. And there's this conversation that goes on. But who in this story would you like to be this morning? Because we applaud the rich man. He invested, he worked hard, he used resources, and he had a full table, he had it all. That's who we want to applaud. That's who we'd love to be like. If we have a temporal vision, if we can look in the moment now. But the hero of the story, the guy I really want to be like if I put all of this into perspective, is the poor guy, Lazarus. Why? Because in the end, he wins out. He gets it all. He gets the food, he gets eternity, he gets comfort and peace rather than torment. There's a comparison again of the temporal and the eternal, of worldly riches and heavenly riches. And this verse says we can't have both as first place in our life. I can't hold on to worldly riches and say, this is most important, and I'm going to get some eternal riches too, as a first priority. No. Every day that rich man left his gate, he saw the poor guy laying there. Doesn't say he did anything about it. It wouldn't have been difficult to send one plate of food out. It showed the attitude of his heart. It showed what was going on inside. So this is about an eternal perspective. And Jesus is challenging us day by day to live for him. Would you be willing to be Lazarus today? Would you? We're kind of an elite community in some ways right here. The International Church of Skopje. Whether we like it or not, we're closer to the rich man than we are to Lazarus. We eat every day. We pay our electric bills. I have a warm house in the winter and a cool house in the summer. And y'all look really nicely dressed today. It's more than a lot of people in this country. A lot of people in this world. A third of the world lives on less than $2 a day. I spent that much on a bottle of water at lunch this week. The point of that is this is not meant to be guilt. God has blessed you. But he's blessed me and you for a reason. To invest in his kingdom. And I applaud you, church. We do a good job of caring for those in need, of filling that basket with food, of giving generously when there's a request. I applaud you for that. But I don't see your heart.
That's what God looks at. God knows if you're trusting him with all that you have. I can't measure that. Not even your spouse, your good friends can measure that. So in the story of Lazarus and the rich man, we can ask a what-if statement. What if the stewardship of my current kingdom assets reflects my eternity? If someone were to hold up a mirror today to your generosity, to your giving, your caring for those in need, if someone were to hold a mirror up to how you use what God has given you to benefit his kingdom, would you want your eternity to be that generous? Or that miserly, stingy? Because that's the story that Lazarus and this rich man holds up to us. The challenge of how I use the resources that I control today that are given to me to build eternal riches. Are you comfortable with that? The equation? Are you comfortable with what you give or kingdom purposes reflecting your eternal reward? I hope you're squirming as much as I am. I hope you're uncomfortable with it, saying, really? You want everything I have, Jesus? All my finances? If you're at the point where Jesus has to show up today to provide for your needs, you're in a good spot. Because Jesus has never failed. Not once. In your small groups this way, I want you to wrestle with this. You're not going to tell each other how much to give, but you're going to say, where are their needs? And what can we do to meet them? Where is their need? Some of you pass people on the street corners. How do you meet those needs? Do you wrestle with that every time somebody comes to your window and knocks? Do you give them money? Do you give them food? Do you go to the store, buy them food, and bring it back? Do we start a soup kitchen and feed a bunch of them? What can we do as a church with the resources God has given us? There's more questions today, I'm afraid, than answers. Because God has richly blessed us. And he wants us to richly bless people around us. So we give away a lot as a church. Anytime we hear this evangelism happening, in fact, we just gave money this week to the evangelistic outreach that's happening in Prelep and Bitola. We want to give money to help some Macedonian ladies around Macedonia come together this fall to learn more about God's Word. What else can we do? The leadership team needs to hear from you guys. What's God doing? Where can we apply resources? Who of you has a heart to help those in need? That orange basket back there is just one little way that we can visually and tangibly see each week of helping. What else can we do? Help us to see what God's doing around you and call the church to be a part of it. What if? What if my stewardship of kingdom assets reflects eternity? What if our church and our assets that we have reflect what God's doing? Is it a good representation? Let's pray. Father God, we're uncomfortable today because your words take away our security and our ability to provide for ourselves and reminds us that you are the one that gives us everything. Not only everything, you give us abundance. An abundance that you want us to share, that you want us to invest, that you want us to build into your kingdom. Open our eyes on how we can do that, both personally and as a church. Lord, that we might be your hands and feet, that we might be who and what you want us to be, to worship and glorify you. in this very, very practical, personal way. In Jesus' name, amen.